The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
How in the world do we go from the God who can raise people from the dead, the God who comes in and shakes the foundations of the building that the people are in, how do we go from that God to this worship service? How do we make that transition? And what's happened from that time till now? Has God changed or has his people changed? Well, it's his people who've changed. And not just his people who've changed, but well, then what does that mean? Well, I think the biggest thing is this. We fail to see the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And I grew up Baptist, Southern Baptist. Like, I think I was, I don't know if you can be born Baptist, but if you could, I was probably. My dad was a Baptist deacon, then he became a Baptist preacher. The first church I served in was a Southern Baptist church. I went to the Southern Baptist Convention and voted against the boycott of Disney back in 1990-something because I liked Disney movies, and I was scared I wasn't going to be able to watch them anymore. I mean, like, Baptist is in my blood. And so this concept of the Holy Spirit has kind of always scared me a little bit. Because as Baptists, we don't get filled with the Spirit. That's those Pentecost people who raise their hands, and they shout, and they jump, and they do all kinds of things. And Baptist folks, we don't do that. We're a little bit more reserved. And so this concept of the Holy Spirit has always kind of scared me a little bit, because I'm afraid that if I talk about it or I start to study it, I'm going to realize, let me level with you. I'm afraid if I study it and I start to look at it, I'm going to realize how far I've slipped in letting that power of the Holy Spirit work in my life. And what happens is I become comfortable and I get a little nervous. I remember the first time, anybody ever raise their hands during worship? I do. I'll just go ahead and let you know. You remember the first time you did it? Trying to look around to see if anybody else was doing it so I wouldn't be the only one, right? And what I'm afraid of is if I study the Holy Spirit, I'm going to realize that there are things like that that he's calling me to do, that he wants me to do, that I'm not listening to, and it's outside my comfort zone. As long as I can control what the Holy Spirit does in my life, then I'm comfortable. And so this morning, just real briefly, I want to look at the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not a typical Father's Day message, I know, but if you go back to my Mother's Day message, it wasn't a typical Mother's Day message, and so we might as well just stay with it and go. But it does tie, because this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, you don't have it in your notes, but it's in your Bibles. If you want to open your Bibles and find it, that'd be cool too. Jesus is talking to people, his disciples, and he says this, "So if you, as sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" And what Jesus is talking about there is he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit that he's going to give to the people who believe in him. And so as we look at that, the gift, the Holy Spirit first is a gift. It's something that God gives to us, and it is proof of our relationship with God. Does everybody get the Holy Spirit? Ooh, it's a trick question. Once you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. It's not everybody. It doesn't happen to everybody. It's for those who are called God's children. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says this, "We are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "Now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." So the Holy Spirit actually comes to those who are called Christians. They're followers of Christ. They have a relationship with God through Christ. And that is the seal or the stamp of approval or the sign, the evidence that you are a Christian, that you are God's child. I love this. It's wedding season. And I think I'm done for a little while. I don't know. I had two back to back. And I always like weddings because what's this? Wedding ring, right? Does this mean I'm married?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. It's a symbol. There it is. Perfect. It's a symbol of the marriage. It doesn't make me married. I could lose. I have lost this in the lake one time, tubing. But I could lose this and I'd still be married. But what it does is I keep it on my finger as a symbol, as a seal, as a sign to other people, I'm married. That's what the Holy Spirit, first of all, should be in our lives. It should be a sign, a symbol of the relationship that you have with God, because it is unique and special, and not everyone on the earth has it, but just those who are called followers of Christ. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is this. It's our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus is telling his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you." Anybody forgetful? Jim Tom, where are you at? Hey man, how are you? Happy Father's Day, Jim Tom. Running joke, Jim Tom loses everything, I think. But isn't it nice to have, like, reminders? Anybody do reminders on things? Always, right? Listen, what did we do? What did we do before this? Sticky notes. That's right. Sticky notes. We've got our washer is interesting. I love it. It's I don't know what happens, but at a certain time it overflows if we don't go and stop it from draining. I don't know if it's like I don't really know what it is, but anyways, so we have to set timers and reminders on our phones so we always make sure that we go and stop the washer before it overflows. And it's interesting because it's amazing how handy that little thing is. And I can talk to her and I can tell her, hey, set a timer. And she does. And she reminds me. And she's a great helper that keeps my laundry room from flooding. And that's silly. That's a stupid illustration. But that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do for us. It's supposed to be our helper. It's supposed to remind us of the things of Christ. It's supposed to remind us of the people we are in Christ, the scriptures we've read. How many of you guys have been going through a difficult time ever in your life, and all of a sudden some scripture that you heard all the way back in the middle of nowhere comes to your mind? Amen. You know what that is? That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Going on in... Oh man, I gotta stay with my notes today, sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we do not know what we should pray for, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes with us through wordless groans. Y'all ever not known what to pray? I there were parts of pastoring I knew were going to be difficult, and there were parts I thought would kind of be a little easier. I can tell you a couple times that are very difficult. Going and seeing people in the hospital. Going to see family members when they're fixing to lose a loved one. When they've just lost a loved one. Those are really tough. And I can tell you right now, full transparency, I have no clue what to say. I have no clue what to pray. I have no clue how to speak. And the only thing I most of the time I can say is, hey, listen, aren't you glad that you and I have the Holy Spirit that lives in us? Where our words fall short, He takes over and prays for us. And we don't have to know the exact words. We don't have to know everything just right. We can trust that the Holy Spirit is our helper who is interceding on our behalf before God when we don't have the right words, when we can't figure out what to say or what to pray. This other thing the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit equips us. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. So how is that equipping us? Because are any of those things who you naturally are at your core? We sang 10,000 Reasons. That's one of my favorite songs. I sing it to Thomas every night when I'm putting him to bed. And here's what always happens. I get to that part, you're slow to anger, your heart is kind. I think back, oh man, at dinner I was not slow to anger. Dinner time is my worst time. I lose my temper always. And that song convicts me, but what it does is this. It teaches me that I can't be patient outside of the Holy Spirit. I can't be gentle. I can't be loving. I can't be kind. Those things are not who I am at my core. Why? Because I am a sinner. I was born into sin just like everybody else. And so what do I need? I need the Holy Spirit to come in and produce its fruit in my life. Because it goes and does what I can't do on my own. Keep going in your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I want you to know and not be uninformed. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them to everyone to give them manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. Now, Lots of church words, but what's it mean? It means that this happens. You become a Christian. You have a relationship with God through Christ. God sends His Holy Spirit into your life. He's your comforter. He's your helper. We're going to talk about those different things. He's the seal of the relationship with God. But He also brings with Him a spiritual gift. A gift that is unique to you in your characteristics and your mannerisms. One of the most fun things I've done at this church was going through our Crafted series. When I first got here, and we looked at how your personality matches your spiritual gift and how all those things work together in a perfect spot for you to just sit in the pews. Some of y'all got it. All right. No, that's not what happens. God designed you. He crafted you. He made you so unique, so specific, so individual with a personality. But then He brought His Holy Spirit into your life. And that spiritual gift that He brought with Him matches your personality. It matches your likes. It matches your passions. And He called you and He gave you those things so that you could serve the body of Christ. So that there are some of you who are sitting there with the Holy Spirit inside you who God needs to use you to do something to reach this community and this church. And what He's waiting for is He's waiting for you to step up and say, hey, listen, this is who I am. This is how God made me. This is what I'm gifted with through the Holy Spirit. Now let me work. All right. Not only does the Holy Spirit equip us, not only does the Holy Spirit help us, the Holy Spirit guides us. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. Now, that's Isaiah, and he's prophesying about who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to become. And so this is a prophecy about Jesus. But what happens is this. Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? It means, you ever struggle with a decision? This is probably way too personal, but it's Father's Day, and I like you guys, so I'm going to talk to you. I used to have a dream as a kid. I wanted to employ a Chinese family. And just hang with me for a second. They're always wise. They make really good decisions, was my thought. And so what I would do is I would hire them because the Chinese man could help me make all my decisions. I wouldn't have to make any decisions. I would just ask him and he could make every decision for me. His wife could cook Chinese food, which I like Chinese food. And then if they had kids, then like they could learn to like walk on my back and crack my back. And it would be all in one. Everything I would need would be right there in one family. But really, I just wanted somebody to make decisions for me. That was my thing, is I hated making decisions because I was always afraid I was going to make a wrong decision. But what I failed to realize and what I failed to see at that time in my life was this, is that I had the Holy Spirit of God living inside me who is guiding me and helping me make right decisions. Another passage of Scripture tells you that the Holy Spirit is our guide. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because He is from me. He will receive what He will make known to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Not only does the Holy Spirit guide us, this is the part a lot of us don't like. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Going back to John chapter 16, when He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And we impart this in this world, and we impart these words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Again, church terms, but what does it mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is in our life to convict us. Now, there's two types of conviction that happen with the Holy Spirit, I think. There's the conviction that happens when we know we're not supposed to do something wrong, and the Holy Spirit convicts us. Hey, listen, you know you're not supposed to do that. And then there's the Holy Spirit that convicts us when we're supposed to do something we know we're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Oh, man, Ram Week. That sounds so good, but Pastor, I've got this real big important thing that I can't sign up for it because of that. Okay, cool. I'm not going to tell you should work it. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. Hey, listen, I'd really love to serve in church, Pastor, but you don't understand. I can't quite get that point. Okay, you don't owe me that explanation. I'll let the Holy Spirit talk to you about it. But see, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of the things that we know we're not supposed to do, but also convict us to do the things we know we are supposed to do. That's what that passage in 1 Corinthians tells us. He tells us that the Spirit teaches us spiritual things, and it helps us move in a spiritual direction that glorifies God. This one has become more and more meaningful to me. The Holy Spirit comforts us. Life ever get tough? Yeah, me too. Sometimes life gets tough, and my dad's my best friend. No bones about it. He's been with me through everything. I really love the guy, and so when it's amazing how many times when life gets tough, as a 40-year-old man. I just want to call my dad. I just want to hear him say, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out. Hey, give me some advice. Because it's comforting to hear him say that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts. The Holy Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Do you realize the comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit? Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how difficult it is, and listen, as much as those words of my dad telling me everything's going to be okay, man, they mean so much. How many times do I miss this? Not because, man, my dad's good. My dad, he's a pretty good dude. He makes fun of me a lot, but he's a pretty good guy. But man, more comforting, more meaningful, more powerful than him. I've got the Spirit of God that lives in me. I can reach out, I can call him dad. And when life is too much and life is chaotic and life is hectic and I feel like I can't take it anymore, he says, hey, just come sit in my lap. Come call me dad. Let's have a conversation real quick, John. You're going to be all right. You're going to get through this. You've got it. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go away. For if I may not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. John 14, verse 16. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby, to be with you as long as you're at church on Sunday.
Wrong version.
To be with you forever. I love talking to my dad. Kelsey makes fun of me. I talk to him about once a day, probably. She said, why do you do that? Why do you talk to your dad? I said, because there's going to be a time when I'm going to want to call him and I'm not going to be able to. I know that. It's going to happen. That's why that verse is cool to me. Because there's never going to be a day when I call on God and he's not there. There's never going to be a situation or a time in my life where I'm facing something and I call on him and he's not that father that says, hey, listen, come sit in my lap. Let's have a conversation. I'm with you forever. All these things sound great. They sound wonderful. And that's wonderful, great news. Thanks for making us cry, little John. Yeah, I'm crying too. It's okay. But you said at the beginning of this that we're missing this aspect of living in the Holy Spirit and tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's what's changed from the church in Acts to the church of today. And you're right, but there's a couple things that you and I have to keep in mind. If we're going to live like this, if we're going to have this power in our life, there are a couple things that we have to do. It's there, it's available for us, but a lot of times the reason we don't tap into it is because of this. You have to be filled with the Spirit. What does that look like? What does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are no longer your own. Oh, so in order to be filled with the Spirit, I have to be submissive? Yeah. So in order to be filled with the Spirit, I have to give up what I want to do sometimes? Yeah. I have to be willing to give my body what I do to somebody else? Yeah. He goes on in another verse in John chapter 14, the Spirit of truth, the world can accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives in you and will be with you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you. You have to allow yourself to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now again, Baptist through and through scares the life out of me. What if the Holy Spirit, what if He tells me to sing? What if He tells me to shout? What if He tells me to get excited? What if He tells me to do something like that that I'm not comfortable with? I have to allow myself to be filled with the Spirit and say, hey, listen, you know what, God? If I'm yours, if I'm truly yours, I surrender, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm willing to do. What if He tells me to witness to somebody at Dollar General? I don't even feel with the Spirit that much. I just don't even feel with the Spirit here. No, see, remember those verses that said He's with you forever? You can't leave the Holy Spirit at the doors of the church. You can't leave the Holy Spirit at the doors of your house. He's with you forever, and if you're going to be filled with Him, then you have to take Him with you everywhere you go. Another thing that we have to do if we're going to do this is we have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to walk with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26-27, and I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit I'll put in you. I'll remove your heart of stone, your flesh in flesh, and give you a heart like flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to walk with the Holy Spirit? It means this. No, I'm good. Oh, wait, that's right. I'm supposed to be doing something. My bad, I forgot. Walking is movement. Walking is motion. Walking means that you're going towards a path, you're going on a directory, you're going in a certain spot, and you have an aim and a focus and a goal, and that's where you're going. See, a lot of us, what happens is this. We like the Holy Spirit, we want to be filled with the Spirit, but we don't want to move. We want to stay in our pew, in our seat, in our job, and everything just the way we have it. And so this idea of moving, no, we're not down for that. But see, what that tells me and what that tells you, hopefully, is this, is that if we're going to walk with the Spirit, we have to be moving. Some of you are the same Christian that you were when you were 14 years old and accepted Jesus, and you've never grown, you've never walked, you've never matured in your Christian life. You are stopping the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because what the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to keep you walking. Hey, listen, baby step it like Bob if you have to first. Just baby steps. But start moving in a direction. The last thing the Holy Spirit, if we're going to do this, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're going to have this as part of our life, is we need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Job chapter 33, verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What does it mean to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? What do you think it means? We can talk, I know, sorry. I took too long. I got emotional. What's it mean to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Talk to Him. Okay? Listen. It helps. Obey. There we go. What else? Remember. Yeah, remember those things that he tells you? Kind of almost sounds like a relationship with a husband or wife, doesn't it? See, in order to be in fellowship, we have to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're good at having a relationship with God through Jesus. Cool. We're good with having a relationship with Jesus because he's our Savior. We get to sing him at Easter. But having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is something we kind of push back to. Because the Holy Spirit, if we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he calls us to do things and we have to obey. We have to do things. We have to listen. We have to move. We have to walk. We have to be engaged with him. You have to call on him from time to time and say, listen, is there something that you want me to do? If all I do is take from my wife and never give her anything, you think that's going to be a good marriage? Listen, we want the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We want the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But every time he tries to come and he tries to do something in our life, not really for me. I don't really want to do that. Y'all, oh man, I got a 2-year-old right now. I don't want to. Hey, we got to brush your teeth. I don't want to. Always, always, always. And one time I just looked at her and said, you know what? We give you a toothbrush. We give you toothpaste. We give you a house. We give you food. We give you all these things. I don't care what you want to do at this moment. You need to do something that I want you to do because I'm your dad. How many of us this morning is the Holy Spirit looking at you saying, listen, I give you a comfort. I give you guidance. I give you peace. I equip you for the work of God that he's calling you to do in his kingdom. And we say, I don't want to. Not today, Holy Spirit. Not feeling it. And he wants to scream at you, I've done all these things for you. You have to have a relationship with me. Do something. I know it's not a typical Father's Day message. I'm sorry. Not really. I told Kelsey before I came up, I don't like this. This isn't what I would want to preach on Father's Day. I wanted to preach something encouraging and motivating, and you're going to go out and be the best dad that ever was. And you can be. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I guess that's the reason God wanted me to preach that this morning. Father, thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for fathers, for father figures, for men in our life. God, but more importantly, I thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that you gave to each of us that are called your sons and your daughters. God, it's that Spirit who's a comforter, a helper. God, that Spirit of advice and guidance that lives within us. But God, maybe this morning some of us have sat too long. God, we've taken, but instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, God, we've just tried to use it when it's convenient for us. Lord, maybe that's why our churches today look so different from the churches in Acts. It's because we're good at taking from the Holy Spirit, but never giving back. Lord, this morning, I pray that during this time of invitation and decision, that we would say yes to the Spirit. Whatever you're calling us to do, God, whatever step of obedience you want us to take, that we would say yes. God, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work and move in our life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.